Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Beautiful day here in Austin, Texas. I'm here at Dower Studios, and I am recording my first episode of my podcast, Courage Over Comfort. My name is Ron Aladini. I am a 50-year-old Nigerian-American, and I have had quite the experience in life. Proud father, divorcee, former flight attendant. And one of the things that I've been realizing over the last few years is the things that we go through and the things that affect us in our lives, they're not always bad for us. I have a friend of mine, Joe, who says all the time, life isn't happening to you, it's happening for you. And in the midst of it, the experiences that I've had over the last few years, I really, truly embrace that concept. I am a man of faith as well. God is in everything I do. But also being a man of faith doesn't mean that I know everything or I do everything right. Actually, it allows me to really see my blind spots. Something that has been really, really important to me is being accountable and holding myself accountable. I remember once having a conversation with my ex-wife where she told me she loved me, but she couldn't be with me because I'd lied to her. And initially, it was something that was really, really hard to take. But it was actually something I needed to hear. But also the beauty of it is I needed to hear it at the time that I needed to hear it. If I'd heard it any other time in my life, I don't know if I would have received it the way that I was supposed to receive it. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I'd been lying so much to myself over my lifetime that I started to believe my truth. And the truth of the matter is, I couldn't be truthful with anyone. And I remember thinking, okay, I felt like a hamster on a hamster wheel. And I keep running on this hamster wheel, but I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm trying to get to this location, but I keep running. And I remember thinking to myself, what would it feel like just to step off the hamster wheel? And that moment in itself changed my life. The next thing was understanding that I'd hit my rock bottom. Like for me, 2020 was my rock bottom. Like I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know my purpose. I didn't know my calling. And the truth of the matter is I didn't even really truly know my Lord. Even though I'd grown up in church, I'd never really accepted it. Like I didn't understand how someone could be a Christian because to me, the idea was you were supposed to be perfect. And if I can't be perfect and understand that I couldn't be perfect, then what's the point of trying to follow a God? Like I would do it in words, but it was never truly in my actions. In the midst of my separation, soon to be divorce, I had one of my really, really good friends help me through the process. His name was Hosea. And Hosea, at the time, had just moved to England with his wife and kids, and Hosea had always been a man of faith, someone that was really, really important now in my life that I didn't realize before. I'd known him for years, and in the midst of my separation and in the midst of the pandemic going on around us, I was confused and I was struggling. And one of the things, the blessings that came from it was I started running. I started running 3 miles a day, and that led to more running and lots more running. And I always tell people this, I didn't know this in the beginning, but not only did running change my life, but it brought me closer to God in the most incredible, amazing way. There is something about pain that brings about clarity. And we can sit in pain and allow ourselves to suffer in it, or we can use it as fuel to get us to the next spaces that we need to go. Now, I can't tell you that I went into it doing that. But what I did do was understand that something was wrong, something was amiss, and I needed to make a change. And it's so funny to me because a lot of times people say, people don't change, people don't change. And for a long time, I think I believe that narrative. But I knew that for what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be, I needed to change. And it was the most uncomfortable feeling that I'd ever felt. Now, I'll tell you something about that uncomfortableness. Two things happened. In the midst of talking to my friend Hosea, we talked a lot about faith. And I actually also read a book called Conversations with God, which a good friend of mine, Joe, had recommended to me. And I'd realized over time that I'd been having conversations with God my whole life. But the problem was I wasn't aware of it and I wasn't listening. And so there was a day I was watching Hosea, and Hosea was going through a tough space in his life. But the way he was going through it was a lot different than the way that I was going through my experience. And that was the one moment where I was like, something's got to be different. There's something that this God is doing for him that I haven't seen, and I have to figure a way out, like figure a way closer to it. Now, I didn't know what I was doing. If you talk about something about being scared about, that was something that I was truly scared about. And I remember having a day where I just said, God, I surrender. And that day was so impactful to me. It was like the weight of the world had come off of my body. Like it was the weirdest and most amazing thing ever. And the part that was so interesting about it was my life hadn't changed, the problems hadn't changed, but there was a lightness that came over me. And in the midst of that lightness that I felt, I started feeling peace. And one of the things that Hosea had suggested to me, he had me follow a young lady named Brené Brown. I'd watch one of her Netflix specials, and I wasn't trying to see it in any way. I'm being completely honest. But I did realize that I needed to see it. And in seeing it, I saw all the parts of myself that I was looking for and the things that I needed to work at. And it was shame and vulnerability. Those are two things that she talks about all the time, at least at that phase of her career. And I looked at all the things I did and why I did the things that I do. And I realized a lot of it was based on my shame and not being able to be vulnerable, not tapping into a deeper part of myself and being really surface level. And one of the things that she said all the time that struck me was being courageous enough to get outside of your comfort zone. And that's where courage over comfort came from. And also, in time, that's where House of Courage came from, which is my clothing line that I'm working on. And I'll get into that later on in the series. Something I want to talk about is this particular podcast and how I came to be doing this particular concept, this podcast, this idea of doing this thing right now in this moment. I think today is September 17th. Now, I've known that I would be doing this over at least the last 2 or 3 years. I knew that what I had to do was important, and my voice was important. And I also knew that because of these things and all the things that I'd gone through, it was part of my purpose to share it and help others who may be going through the same thing is essentially what it came down to. But I've been so scared about the concept because I didn't initially know what I wanted to do. I didn't initially know what I wanted to talk about. There are even parts and times that I'm figuring I would get somebody else, a partner or anything of the sort. And every time I saw myself waiting longer and longer and not doing a thing. I have a good friend of mine named Laura. And Laura at this time lives in Prague. But Laura also used to work with me. I used to work as a flight attendant at JetBlue for 17 and a half years. And I retired on Christmas Day of 2023 because 2 years prior to the date, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Ron, this is the date that you're leaving your job. And when I heard it, I was really new in my faith. So I just thought it was random craziness that was coming along in my head, and I just sort of dismissed it. But it stayed with me for months, a few months. And I couldn't tell you that I struggled with it, because I told myself, it's not going to happen. I don't know what's next. I don't know what I'll do or anything of the sort. But what I realized was it wouldn't leave me. And that's those moments when I know that God is speaking to me, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. It's like this nagging feeling, like it just keeps eating at you. So that happened for about 2 or 3 months. And I said to myself, you know what? Let me think about it. It doesn't mean that I have to do it, but at least let me give it a serious thought. And I remember talking to a friend. I can't even remember who the friend was at the moment, but I just said, what do you think of me leaving JetBlue on 12/25/23? And I'm going to tell you, this is the part that's the funniest. He said to me, man, that's a heck of a Christmas gift to give to yourself. And I laughed about it because it didn't even cross my mind. Like I look at life in numbers. I'm a numbers person. I've always been a numbers person. And I never even crossed my mind that it was Christmas Day. And that thought just shifted something in me. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And at the time, I'd had 2 years left. And I was thinking, well, if anything changes, I can change my mind at the last minute. Like, I don't have to stick to it. At least that's the thought that I said going into the process. And I did it. And Laura was one of those people that I reached out to talk about, because she had just recently retired before me, and I wanted to know her experiences and why she did it, and did she regret it, and things of the sort, and what was next, because I couldn't even fathom leaving my job. And so her and I got closer over the last few years, about the last 3 years, and her living in Prague, and that's just DMing each other back and forth. And it allowed me to get more comfortable in the decision that I was making and understanding that I wasn't alone in the process. And I'll tell you, that's one of the biggest things that I've had. And this whole process that I've gone through these last 4 or 5 years, I've had some amazing people who have come along with me in the journey. They've been supportive. They've given me pushback as well. They've allowed me to look at myself in ways that I normally wouldn't have looked at myself and was too scared to look at myself. So I'm always grateful for those experiences. But anyway, so Laura was in town in the U.S., came into the U.S. for 10 days or so. And I was hoping to see her in Boston and didn't get the chance to see her in Boston. Because I'm a father and I have my daughter half the time, and it was important to me. I don't mess with my days. Most time, I'm not messing with my days with my daughter. I call my daughter my North Star. And so when I can be there for her, I'm going to be there for her, because I wasn't always that. I didn't let it stress me. You know, one of the things that I start to realize in my life, like life is going to happen around me and I can't control it. The only thing I can control is me and myself and how I interact with things. Come to find out, she was going to be in Fort Lauderdale. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to fly in for a day and I'll come see you. And I got to see her, and I got to see some other great friends, Gary, Rafi, and other new friends that I met over the weekend. And being there, I saw a young lady by the name of Mercedes, and she had a dog named Lyric. And me and Laura were outside on a walk. We sat down on a bench and were just having conversation. And Mercedes comes. And I was like, well, that's an interesting name, Mercedes. I didn't think much of it, but it stayed in my head. And that's the one thing that I realized, and I think a lot of us should realize, is that there are things that are happening around us that we don't even fully understand, but just take it in. Left it at that. The next day, I flew back home. The next day, I realized that certain things need to shift, that I felt like I was getting off my discipline, my self-control, and things that I needed to work on. So I got back into the gym, and I was in the gym on Monday, just a couple of days ago, and I saw this guy working out. And he walks by me a couple of times, and he has this tattoo on his neck saying Mercedes. And I was like, huh, okay. I see Mercedes again. I haven't paid much attention to it before, but I see it again. So, okay, I'll leave it at that. And so whatever it is. And then after that, the next day, on Monday, I was out with a friend. I just got done with my daughter's soccer practice. I just got home, and a friend of mine, Rivola, she asked me to come with her to the store. And I was hesitant to go initially. I was like, I just want to go home. I just want to sleep and things of the sort. But something said in me, nah, just go with her. Stop being a punk. Just go. She may need you in this moment. You never know what it is. So we go to the local 7-Eleven. And she just wanted to go in and grab a drink and just talk, a little conversation. And as she goes into the store, she comes out and she says, this young lady bought my drink for me. And I looked at her and I said, really? And she said, and it was her birthday. She bought something for me on her birthday. And it just struck me in this really cool, interesting way. So I get out of the car, I go meet this young lady, and I tell her, happy birthday. And I give her a hug. And she's like so surprised and so thrown off by it, but so receptive to it, which was really interesting. Now, the part that she doesn't know, and this is the part that I didn't talk about earlier in this conversation. When I was in Fort Lauderdale, I was having a conversation. It was with Laura, Gary, Stephen, and Rafi. And we were talking about death and our parents dying and things of the sort. And I was telling them the story of how in my dad's passing, I found forgiveness and I found unconditional love for him. And I was telling them how he is my best friend ever, like even in his passing. And what I will say from that is, my dad passed away on March 26th of 2021. And on March 5th of 2021, which happened to be my 46th birthday, I was out on a run at my local track, LBJ. And I'm doing a 15-mile run, and I was thinking to myself, I don't want to receive for my birthday. I want to give for my birthday. And it was the idea of learning to be much more giving of myself. And I was thinking of who I should do it for, and I ended up doing it for a friend of mine named Lulu, who happened to coach my daughter at Austin Ninja. And my daughter loved him so much. And I remembered he had been going through a tough point in his life. And I figured it was him that I was going to give something to. So I ended up giving him $200. But here's the funny thing about that. And this is these serendipitous moments that happen. 15 minutes later, I get a Cash App alert saying that I got $200 from my dad for my birthday. And it was just this powerful moment for me right then. And it was God telling me, I've got you. I've got you. And even as I'm saying this right now, just a reminder for myself to understand that he's got me. Even when I worry, even when I struggle, even when I'm scared, even when I'm going through the craziest of moments, I know he has me. So that moment for me, it just hit me in such an incredible way. So when I saw that young lady who bought my friend's drink on her birthday, it took me right back to that moment. And as we were driving back to the apartment and we were walking away, for some reason I was telling her, I said, you know what? I'm going to be doing a podcast. I have no idea how or when or what, but I'm going to do a podcast. This is just 2 days ago on Monday. And I just talked to my friend, Hosea, about possibly doing one together. And in that moment, she said something, and I can't even remember exactly what she said. But in that moment, I remembered a friend of mine. And I remember a friend of mine who worked in a studio that recorded podcasts. And I remembered her name was Mercedes. And that was my number three Mercedes. And that's when I knew this very moment, I had to reach out to her and figure it all out. So as soon as I got back into the apartment, I texted her. And I asked her, hey, would you happen to be still working at Dawa Studios? And she said yes. And she sent me the link. And I looked at the link. And as I was looking at it, and I was looking at what Dawa is about, what Shaka's about, and I was like, the answer had been there the whole time. But sometimes, even though the answer is there, sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we procrastinate. And I can tell you I did that for quite a while. But in that very moment, I knew that I had to do it. And that's what brought me here right now today. I couldn't wait on anybody else. I couldn't wait for the perfect timing or moment. I just had to take the leap. Just a couple of weeks ago, I just took a jump. I went skydiving for the second time. And I remember I went on a Tuesday, and on that Saturday, my stepdad, who lives in Sierra Leone in West Africa, calls me out of the blue. We talk, like texting back and forth, but it's very rare that we call and have a conversation. And in the midst of the conversation, I said, man, it's so funny to me that you are calling me right now in this moment, because I'm working through these feelings about doing my second jump, even though I'd done it the year prior. And I was like, yeah, and I'm kind of dealing with some fear in it. And he said to me at that very moment, he said, there's a thin line between you and fear, Ron. He said, as a child, you didn't fear anything. Like, you weren't scared of anything. We were talking about some of my adventures as a child. And I had to correct him. I said, the truth of the matter was, I did always have fear. I just did it anyway. And it's so interesting to me that that's who I am. And one of the things that my stepfather said to me that was really, really impactful to me was that he respected that and he honored that. And he couldn't do that in his past, because sometimes we deal with so much of our own stuff that we can't see not only who we are sometimes, but who others are. And I remember having a moment with him where for years of my life, I'd been chasing his approval. But the moment I realized that I didn't need it anymore, he literally handed it to me on a silver platter. And that's life. I'm not going to go too much longer on this story, and we'll talk more. You'll know more about me on my life and my story. But I think for me, what is most important is being able to tell my story, but not only my story, others' story, and see how that can affect others' lives and lead people to wherever they need to be. I understand that. That is part of my purpose. And I always say my purpose is to love God and to love others with the gifts that God has given me. And so I'm more aware of who I am and what I am and who I'm not. And being open and honest about it and being vulnerable with people to allow not only myself to grow, because initially this whole process was just about healing myself and allowing myself to grow. But being able to document my story allowed it to be easier for me to help others along the process. It's been one of the greatest gifts I've ever received in my life. And I'm so humbled by it all. I tell you honestly, it makes me want to cry sometimes. And not even crying from a place of sadness, but of joy, like true joy. I went through a period where I was running marathon a month for 2 years. I ended up running 24 marathons in 2 years. And since my dad's birthday on October 10th, 2021, I've run, I think, 33 marathons. Not completed them all. I've done a couple of DNFs, but I've run 33 marathons on something that scared me and made me completely uncomfortable. But within it all, I found me. And I found purpose. I found love in such incredible ways. And I'm still working at me. I'm still working at my demons. And one of the things that I tell people often, I'm working at my mountains. And I say this all the time, and I want to correct. I say mountains are my Achilles heels. And what I mean by that, it's not my Achilles that are bothering me, but you know the story of Achilles, that his heel was his weak point. Well, mountains have been my weak points. Hills, anything climbing has been my weak points. But in finding myself in those mountains, not necessarily always conquering them, but facing them, I found myself in such a real way. And I'm grateful. So this is episode one. Really quickly, I gotta say this really quickly before I'm done. There's a gentleman here, right now, here at this moment, that I wanna tell his story. And just in this moment that we got to meet, and me getting to hear his story, I was so inspired. And I think that's the big thing for me, because I listen to so many people's stories, I get inspired by them. And Ever inspired me. And as nervous as I was to be here in this moment, doing this thing right there in this moment, hearing his story, without him knowing it, inspired me, got me out of my fear, got me out of this place to say, hey, I can do this. And it's just the beginning. And I'm supremely excited about it. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day. Peace.